The show's so funny it makes you want to slap your mama. The Corey and Joel Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. Hey. Welcome in, everybody.
Mole mecha, hole mecha, hula maka.
This is a welcome in, everybody. It's kind of a holiday themed show today, right? It's almost a holiday.
Well, it is in America.
Yes. I don't know what commie country some of you live in, but
yeah, you rest of you savages enjoy
a holiday
another
here.
Day at the office.
It's Thanksgiving. That's when you're listening to this, but
right,
just a day before here, so.
Gobble, gobble.
We're in a great holiday mood, aren't we?
Oh, I'm filled with the vigor of the holiday season.
So welcome into the Corey and Joel Radio Show. It's number 147.
Good God.
Yeah, I know. Monday we could just stop counting.
Air Ferg has produced almost 65 episodes at this point.
Oh, he's produced 65?
It's a low number.
Really? It's 65 to our 147?
I don't know how, and it's whatever.
All right, welcome in. This is a band called Art Brute. We played them before on the show, I believe.
Yeah.
We played their first album. This is an album called It's Not Complicated, I think is the name of it. So I'm going to fade that out. That's Art Brute. They're a British punk band.
Not as good as Fruit Brute, but they're right up there.
Okay. You can... There we go. All right, welcome in, everybody. Like we said, it is the holidays. We are festive. It's Thanksgiving week here in Michigan. Detroit, the United States of America.
Yeah.
And
you mean the most dangerous city in America?
Yes, we are the most dangerous city in America, which I guess we should get into that a little bit later. But I don't know if I buy that statistic. Like, what's the point of where is the most dangerous city in America? Isn't any place dangerous?
Well, considering that in the last month, my roommate and my editor have both gotten mugged in Detroit.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But where are they in Detroit, though? Did they get
this
mugged?
Was downtown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But was this like a touristy place?
No,
or were they...
in front of the DIA.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not exactly the hood.
No.
No.
In front of the well-lit and guarded Detroit Institute of Arts.
Yeah, it's the Institute of Arts Corey's referring to, which is brand new, and they're hyping it
remodeled.
Up. But so he goes down there and gets mugged, huh?
Yeah, and my editor... Well, actually, somebody was breaking into her car.
Oh, okay.
My roommate.
That's still bad. Yeah.
Someone's breaking into her car, but she decided to confront them. Because they weren't stealing the car. They were going through stuff in the back.
Sure.
So she ran up on them.
Right.
And, of course, the guy wrestled the purse away. So, like, that was...
So, wait a minute. The guy's stealing something out of her car, which is probably bullshit anyway. It's probably nothing important.
She was afraid, like, her school books were going to get stolen.
So then, as she runs
and
up on
those are expensive,
the guy,
I understand. But,
he steals
you know,
her purse.
Right.
Which is probably full of shit. Credit cards.
So she lost money in credit cards.
And her license and all, everything she needed. Yeah, okay.
It was a good strategy.
Your roommate's not exactly a woman I would think would take on a mugger.
She's nuts.
Yeah, I know she's nuts, but I mean, she's not someone that's going to successfully take on.
No, her. Not successfully.
She would attempt to.
No,
yeah,
she's Hercules in her mind. She's, you know, Xena warrior princess.
Wow.
And then my editor actually did hit the guy over the head.
Oh, really?
The guy had a gun.
Wow.
My editor's like this 6'3 dude with dreads.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, not exactly a mugging target.
Sure.
And he spun around and knocked the guy over the head with, like, his book or something he had in his hand. And the guy dropped, and the magazine fell out of the guy's gun.
What do you mean, the magazine? Oh, the magazine, the clip. Okay.
Yeah.
They mean he had, like, a rolled-up magazine.
No, yeah, that would be an effective
weapon. Come here!
Weapon.
You know, had it under his jacket.
Yeah, if a hobo's swinging a magazine at me, I might take him. No, but can't...
He knocked the clip out of his gun?
Yeah, my editor's hardcore, man. He took him right out.
Fuck a bunch of that. I'm going to stay in the burbs. Fuck all that.
And that was, like, in not a bad part of town either. He lives right, you know, on the east side there, right over past Greektown, like in the, you know, there's, like, Mies Van Der Rohe buildings and stuff, all those apartments in there.
The Eastern Market, kind of?
Yeah, no, sort of closer to downtown, just on the other side of the freeway.
Oh, okay.
But it's not even that bad over
there.
That's not even a bad...
Like, down by Jefferson Way?
Yeah, kind of there?
Okay, yeah. I know where you're talking
about. It's not even bad over
there. It's kind of, like, considered a... revitalized area of downtown.
Well, it's all like apartment complexes and like...
And there's shops and stuff and restaurants.
Townhousey kind of places.
Oh,
yeah.
God. Well...
Anyway.
Well,
dangerous city.
Dangerous city in America.
But nobody burned anything on Devil's Night, which
no,
was
we were good that night.
It's the night before Halloween, which legendarily used to be when the whole city would catch fire.
Right.
Because vandals would set shit on fire.
Yeah, people would come here, you know... Reporters would come here from, like, Japan to go, Detroit to burn it down!
Ah, fire Detroit!
And, you know, and they would, like, and it was, like, a big thing where you had to watch, like, it was sport.
Right.
To the rest of the world. Right. Like, watch Detroit burn. the night before Halloween every year.
Yeah, it was terrific.
We've gotten over that now.
Now it's just a regular old dump.
But now the night before, the day before Thanksgiving, has its own chaos and panic.
Yeah, they might as
both
well.
Witness to
they might as well call it the Riot Squad for what I just witnessed trying to get over.
Yeah, and
here.
I saw it earlier today. Tell everybody about it, because
right around the corner from Joel's house is a honey baked ham outlet, and it was a hair's breadth away from pandemonium.
Yeah, if you don't know what the honey baked ham is, and you don't have one, it's just a store where they sell like pre cooked hams.
Sure.
They're just like, they're honey glazed. That's why it's called honey baked.
Yeah, and they're basically do business like 3 days
yeah,
a year.
Yeah, it's for holidays. You get one at Christmas, you get one at Easter, you get one at Thanksgiving, and you get a ham.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, turkey is the traditional meat, for sure. You know, sometimes you have the option, you have a ham. And
well, I know who takes that option.
Who's that?
I've determined who takes
really?
That option.
Who's that?
Based on the makeup of the crowd, I figured
who
prefers the ham.
And
which is
that?
Funny because some blacks will not go near pig.
Yeah, but these people were, it was a lot of blacks.
I would
there.
Pay money for Jules in his clip about the pig as a filthy
No,
animal.
We don't have that one, but we've got to have some black guy talking that
I'm
would
sure.
Fit the, would fit the profile over there. No,
anyway,
you don't have one?
Right.
But, you know, yeah, the honey baked ham is a big thing. But I remember as a kid that, like, my aunt would always get the honey baked ham.
Yeah.
And it was like, and I remember going as a kid to the store. My mom got him a couple times.
Sure.
It was insanity. It was like a 2-3 hour wait for a ham.
My family usually gets one for Christmas. Like my, you know, my mom's side of the family, we usually have a big Christmas thing.
Is it like completely insane for her to get the ham? Or
I don't know.
Like,
my uncle, it's at my uncle's house. And they usually get it.
Wow.
So I don't, I'm not privy to the process.
I remember being a little kid and waiting in like, they had this line that was like a serpentine, you know, it was like at Disneyland or something. It was like the line for the roller coaster or something.
It was insanity. It was utter
pandemonium.
Well,
yeah, well, the one by me, it's just this little corner store.
You would have thought somebody was handing out gold teeth.
And there's a parking lot.
It was just ridiculous over there.
There's a parking lot that maybe holds 15 cars.
Yeah, oh,
and so
no
they're
parking.
Like spilled out into the street. There's a police car with their lights on. And everyone needs ham.
Honey baked ham's in the weirdest spot. It's a tiny little building on the end of a large building.
Yeah, it's like the end of a little strip mall kind
of
thing. And normally, there's not a soul in that parking lot.
No.
There's not one. I drive by there every day, and there's not a goddamn person there.
They only do business like 2 months of the year. I mean, like.
And then today, it's fucking mayhem and pandemonium.
Oh, Lordy, no, I got to get me a ham. Oh, Jesus, I'm about to stab somebody. It was crazy.
It's pretty nutty, man. The honey baked ham line is crazy.
All kind of conflagration going on.
Now, can't you call ahead and get a ham and just go pick it up, or do people not?
Hold
I don't
on.
Know what
who,
goes on.
Do black people not call ahead?
Now, why has this become a black? I'm sure there were plenty of white.
Because it was all black people in
I'm
that
sure
line.
I'm sure there were white people at the honey baked
ham. No, the black people called ahead. The white people, white people called ahead. The black people are in the line.
They
being
picked
like,
up their ham at 8 a.m., and the black people are just getting it now.
Like, oh, girl. I got to get me my ham. No, it was, I don't know.
Well, whatever it is.
In fairness, there probably were some white people in that
line.
You
can go to the whitest suburb of Detroit, and there's a line of
honey baked
ham.
It's madness
today,
over there, too. Yeah, it's just this one was particularly
My neighborhood is like that. You know what the thing is? That's the closest honey baked ham to Detroit. I'm sure there's not one in the city proper.
No. Why
Therefore,
would you open a honey baked ham?
The Ferndale honey baked
ham
is going to be the closest thing.
Because someone would mug the city of Detroit honey baked ham.
You think, what do you steal? Like
hams.
You think a guy would go running
Give
out
me my hams, fool.
And you're going to have a ham under each arm and go running down the street?
Yeah. Think about what hobos could live for 3 months off ham. Think about that.
Well, I know people who just buy the honey baked ham and they live off it for like a month.
Just imagine what a honey baked ham would do to the ghetto economy for hobos. They would
I got a ham sandwich, man. Look at me.
It'd be nuts.
So that's
one of our favorite Detroit bums, Larry. I once saw the great Larry, who people from Detroit know because he hangs out outside the Majestic Cafe. I once, in the middle of the summer, saw him with a gallon bucket of peanut butter.
Gallon bucket?
Yeah, and there was about an inch and a half left in the bottom of it.
Yeah.
And he came up to us. We were, like, sitting out on the cafe porch, and he's like, guess how much peanut butter I ate? So
what's protein?
Can you imagine what a ham would do?
Wow.
Guys are eating gallon buckets of peanut butter.
I took this comic on a tour of Detroit once. He's from Florida.
Yes.
You know the guy Warren Durso, funny guy.
Terrific.
And
terrifically
Warren
unfunny.
He wanted a tour of Detroit. He's a funny guy.
No, he was funny off stage. On stage, off stage, hilarious.
So Warren wants a tour of Detroit. So I take him down to the Cass Corridor, which is like the worst, you know, most rugged part of Detroit. And, you know, a lot of hobos and crack addicts living down there. And we're outside this place called the Chin Tiki, where they shot part of 8 Mile. It's where Eminem's character was washing dishes or whatever he did.
Yes.
And so we go by, it's this old ornate Chinese restaurant. And we're outside the Chin Tiki. And you can clearly see homeless guys were sleeping there, and there was, like, some debris and rubbish. And there was a there was an empty or a nearly empty jar of pig's feet out on the street.
Yeah.
Like, a homeless guy was eating pig's feet raw.
Right, sure.
Outside, in the ghetto.
He probably traded the bucket of peanut butter for the pig's feet.
Maybe he did, but I was like, is that the most disgusting thing ever? Like, raw pig's feet eaten by a homeless guy?
That's pretty hot.
Wow.
The Chin Tiki is amazing because it was like a Polynesian restaurant in the 70s.
Yeah.
Like, you know, with the big...
Yeah, it's more Polynesian than Chinese, I guess. It has
maybe Hawaiian-y kind of whatever.
Yeah, I'm not sure how you describe
it. But it was all these, like, my parents used to
Chin,
go there.
I think the Chin stands for Chinese and the Tiki is for, like,
okay,
the
so
island.
It was a fusion.
Yeah, it's a
But remember, my parents used to talk about that. They go in and get the big, giant, ridiculous drinks.
Yeah.
With the pineapples and the, you know, all the fruit in it and the umbrellas. But the guy, like, closed shop and never sold it, and it's all intact in there.
It's still there. And
yeah. Which,
probably the property's worth nothing at this point.
Some hipster should buy the joint and just open it up,
But
right?
Don't you feel like maybe the guy's just waiting? He's thinking that's going
to
build up.
That's what happened.
And then
he's
going to sell it when it's worth some money.
What's happened in Detroit for the last 25, 30 years is that slumlords have sat on property waiting for the revival of Detroit, and it's almost impossible to, like, buy a building.
Yeah.
Because guys are like, they don't improve them, but they're like, oh, any day now. Now they build casinos and stuff, and guys go, oh, now the moment is coming, but they're still not selling.
Yeah, well, I mean, some people were able to cash in their chips and whatever, but a lot of people haven't, you know.
Right.
So it's just a matter of time. Well, they're waiting. You know, I mean, the people that had property were, you know, they put the new stadiums. I mean, those guys got paid.
Yeah.
And where the new casinos have been built, we just got two new brand new casino hotels.
Mega
built.
Casinos. Yeah.
The Greek Town Casino, which didn't get just got a new parking deck.
Well, no, it's being built. The new
they're expanding that as well?
Being built, yeah.
Oh, okay. Because
that's right in front of my office.
Right. But they're not using that building anymore? The Trappers
Alley?
Yeah,
no, they are. They're just expanding. Oh, okay. They're going to have a bridge. They have a bridge.
Right.
I see this.
But the bridge goes to the parking deck right now, right?
But the parking deck's going to connect to the
building in another spot. Okay.
Yeah. So the bridge goes right to the building and the whole thing.
Right. So. All right. So they're
I know because I can't go to work. I can't get to the office without a nightmare.
So there you go. That's
Detroit
going
rising
Detroit.
And falling and at the same speed.
Yeah, yeah. And because of the holidays, I got family in town too. My brother and sister-in-law. My sister-in-law is playing fantasy football.
Yes, she is,
Julie, and she's doing very well. She's in third place now.
Yeah, I hate her.
Yeah, she's just above you, but you're in the playoffs, baby. If you got,
I'm in the hunt.
We've got, I think, three regular season games.
I
got to
win.
The playoffs,
I got to win a couple games.
I'm 8-3 right now. I'm sitting in first place with my Tom Brady.
My 1 point loss to PJ.
Yeah,
Peyton got him Manning through one interception too many.
Yeah, PJ, our friend from the show, is in second place. Yeah. Mice. Sister-in-law Julie is in third, followed by Corey in fourth. He'll make the playoffs.
I'm now
if the playoffs started today, but you have the same record as Squall the Wop.
Sure.
But you have a slight points lead. You have like a 30-point lead in points. So that's your...
Thanks to Randy Moss and his four garish touchdowns.
Yeah, that was ridiculous the other night with the Patriots. And
I love the Patriots.
Beating up on the Bills.
They're
a fantasy
dream.
You got Tom Brady, you got Randy Moss. Randy Moss, we're set.
Yeah, they're a fantasy.
Let's
go.
That's
why you and I were good all year.
See you in the playoffs.
They're a juggernaut because they.
And if the playoffs started today, you would play me.
I know.
So we'll see what happens. But there's three games left in fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
Our lowly announcer Rob Rose, who was last year's like regular season champ. I think he lost in the playoffs to PJ, but Rob Rose was a juggernaut last year, and this year, not a lot.
I'm so nervous. I'm sweating like Mike Tyson on Jeopardy.
I don't know if that's true or not.
It's tough for Rob. Every week in fantasy is a nerve-wracking experience.
He had some injuries. He had some problems. Rob is not doing well this year.
And I pasted him. I pasted him last week.
You beat his ass last week, and
we'll have Rob on soon, too.
Yeah.
To
come in and defend himself.
To whine
apparently,
and cry.
He said he's got like three other teams in other leagues, and those all suck too. So I don't know what to blame it on.
The wheels came off for the Rob Rose Express this year.
Sometimes you just get a break in your draft, and you end up with great guys, and you didn't know. But maybe you end up with shitty guys
you
like Rob did. I'm
so glad this year all I did was play fantasy for this league. That's all I played.
Right.
Last year I was in an NBA league, which was a nightmare.
That sounds terrible.
And a British soccer league.
Yeah, like again, terrible.
An EPL league.
But they play less frequently.
They only play once a week, but they play like 35 games. They play, it never ends. and I did okay in that, but the NBA, I was terrible.
Yeah.
Because you got to sit there and go, who's Sacramento playing tonight? And you just couldn't care.
Yeah,
it's every night, 82 games times 30 teams.
Yeah.
It's what point guard is, you know, how many rebounds. It's so many more stats. It's so aggravating. It's very annoying. So we're not doing NBA league because, no.
But, so we're not going to do that. But the Fantasy Football League is going well. Kicking ass.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I've got family. You got family stuff to do this week, tomorrow?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Girlfriend stuff? Or are you out of that?
Well, I got to work this weekend.
You're doing comedy at Joey's Comedy Club in Livonia, Michigan, if anyone wants to look
and
up
for it. So her family's doing something on Saturday for Thanksgiving because people are coming in from Spain, and it's just weird.
All right.
Yeah.
So are you having to do that or not really?
No, I got
to
do the...
Oh, okay.
How am I going to get from Livonia? Well, her parents decided to move out to, like, the country out by Kalamazoo.
Wow.
Her parents moved from Troy to Kalamazoo. So, F that. I'm not going...
Kalamazoo, for those of you who don't know, it's about 2 hours west of Detroit, kind of midway between, like, Detroit and Chicago, but it's, like, kind of the western part of Michigan.
And they're, like, 20 minutes outside of Kalamazoo.
Yeah, so they're not even...
it's even further because, you know... Bob was just dying to move to the countryside for reasons I have no idea.
He got that now.
Yeah.
There he goes.
They're putting, like, apparently this is their, like, retirement house, and they put everything into this house.
Really?
They're putting a piped music system through, like, a distributed music system. So so they can listen to, you know, Christmas carols at all times.
Wow.
The house. Yeah. I haven't been there yet. It's going to be Christmas time before I check that out. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, I got my brother in town, and... my sister-in-law, and so we're just going to do, you know, Thanksgiving tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what we're doing. Maybe we'll go to the movie or something.
Oh, you'll go see that Fred Claus.
No.
Huh?
I might go see The Mist. Did you see The Mist?
I did not see The Mist.
I got to go see The Mist. Do you want to do a quick movie review? Because we did see something. It's been out for a few days, but you want to review the last movie we saw together?
Didn't we do that?
No, we didn't do that.
We didn't do Beowulf?
We saw Beowulf. No, we haven't reviewed Beowulf.
I thought we did that last week.
Not at all, no.
Oh, really?
We didn't even technically do a show last week.
Wow.
We had the Sabo show, which had been in the can for a few days. Yeah.
Okay.
Beowulf. What'd you think?
Yikes.
It was Beowulf, all computer animated.
Yeah.
We saw it in a digital 3D projection system.
Absolutely.
And what a weird fucking jacked up movie that was. I mean, it was in one way an experience, and it was amazing, and then in the other way, it was really annoying and obnoxious at the same time.
It was amazing. The technology's finally caught up to the point where the 3D's worth watching.
Well, the 3D, the 3D was good.
You know, for years, you got those chintzy red and blue, like little cellophane lenses with paper. That movie, Shark Girl and Lava Boy.
Yeah, they had those.
Shark Boy and Lava Girl. Broke my head.
Did it really? Was that
hurt.
Bad?
It was painful.
Okay.
And the movie was terrible to begin with, but the 3D was bad.
Was it?
Now the 3D is amazing.
Yeah, the 3D was real good, and I think part of that was that it was digital instead of film, because I've even seen IMAX, like I saw Superman Returns in IMAX 3D, and the problem with the 3D now is that when the camera pans or like is really quick movements, it gets blurry, and it still had a problem in this digital 3D that we saw.
Well, the camera was always moving.
Almost always moving, but a lot of the effects were still real good. It was like the best 3D I've seen, like, ever.
It was, and what they did is they video capped the actors. They shot actual actors and then animated over them.
Yeah, and they looked kind of like the real actor who was doing it for the most part.
Did they save money by doing that?
I don't know.
Is it that much cheaper?
You know what? I think when you're trying to shoot something, like, you don't have to build a big giant set.
Yeah.
And then when you build a dragon, the dragon's going to be computer animated anyway.
Sure.
Then why not just go ahead and just do the whole thing digital?
One thing that Beowulf did very well is because it was animated, it was 3D, they did shots that you wouldn't normally see in a movie.
Sure, yeah.
Like, they would pan from, like, the ring on a guy's finger all the way back to, like, you know, outer space.
Right, yeah, really.
You know what I mean? They would really be like, here, a raven is flying through the castle, and we'll go all the way through. And
they did a lot of, like, showy kind of camera stuff like that.
Yeah.
Visually.
Which got a little, it was overwhelming.
It was a very intense experience to see, but the movie, I mean, the story, now, I guess it's an old poem written in Old English that...
It is an
A ancient, lot of people have...
Yeah, 700-year-old poem.
A lot of people that have had to read that in school, I know, have hated it.
Yeah.
And it's
older than that. It's a couple thousand years old.
Apparently it's a horrible thing to actually try to read and understand.
It has been boring kids in English classes throughout decades.
But this movie was such a simplistic, almost by the numbers fantasy plot. It wasn't by, but
You know, here's the thing.
If you've seen Lord of the Rings,
it's one of the oldest stories in English literature, so you're going to know the elements of it.
A lot of things have been borrowed from Beowulf over the years, but this movie is, it's almost, to me, it was very much like.
But they changed the plot.
Yeah, they did change the plot.
That's what's crazy.
But apparently they've changed it for the better, is from what I understand. But to me, this movie was almost like, it was like Shrek for grown-ups in a way. It just had a lot of familiar elements. Wrapped in blood and nudity and violence.
There were a couple problems. One, because it's 3D, it was 3D, but yet they shot it like it was an old 3D movie.
Well, there was a lot of, you know, pointy sticks pointed at your face.
It was like, who wants some gold? And they throw it right in your face.
The king throws gold
coins. Here comes a spear.
Yeah.
And they just got, it was like in the old, like, you know, why is Vincent Price playing paddleball in House of Wax?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
But it was exactly because it's 3D.
There was that.
Let's shove 3D stuff in your
face. But at the same time.
Although there were 3D titties.
There were computer-generated Angelina Jolie titties.
That was great. And there was also those big, lusty, pendulous serving wench tits.
Oh, yeah, the wench
that
tits.
Were, like, bouncing up and down while she was, like, wiping the table
you
down.
So wench cleavage.
Yeah, and they were, like, they zoomed in on these big, bouncing
big,
wench
sloppy
titties.
Wench titties.
And that's something 3D's always needed.
Yeah, so.
3D's been begging for 3D tits for a long time.
Well, these were computer tits, though. They weren't even real tits.
I'm hoping that they were real tits and they animated it over. But they were enormous.
You think they shot reference footage of bouncing tits?
I hope. Well, maybe the DVD will show us the reference tits. They were terrific. And now I'm like, this, I would have watched 3D every week if they had these in them.
You know, I think they just had some Russ Meyer movie on and they found.
It could be.
Those were his. Those were like Russ Meyer.
Oh, they were. They were
titties.
Cartoon titties, yeah, they were for sure.
But
Angelina Jolie sort of had nipples, but no obvious.
They were sort of covered in gold paint or
she had,
something.
Like this gold slime all
over.
Yeah,
you could see the outline of her nipples through the gold, so they didn't go all the way with the nudity.
It was weird.
Plus, she had like a tail. It was kind
of
weird.
But there was a lot of nudity for an animated movie,
right? And there was a lot of male nudity,
right? Beowulf. What's ridiculous is he fights this demon Grendel, who's this big, giant, retarded looking. Like, the skin's melting off him. He looks like a zombie.
He's like a skinless guy, almost.
Yeah, it's
he's
freaky.
Big skinless monster.
And he screams all the time. I think Crispin Glover did the voice.
Yes.
And Beowulf fights him naked, because he... Grendel breaks into this alehouse that they're in overnight.
The mead house.
Yeah, the mead house. And Beowulf breaks in, Grendel breaks in, and Beowulf just jumps out of bed and starts wrestling him naked.
And so he's naked.
He's bouncing around naked, this buff cartoon character.
Yeah.
And they keep putting stuff in front of his pecker.
Yeah, it was like that Austin Powers scene where they keep shot. And that's been done a million times.
It was like Monty Python or something.
Yeah, it was like they keep putting something in front of his dickie.
Oh, it's a candle!
And each time, and they literally do probably, I'm guessing, 15 visual gags with the penis.
It kept going and going.
And each time, you know, there would be diminishing laughs from the audience, but yet people would still laugh. I laughed maybe the first time and that was done.
I was kind of laughing that they kept doing the joke.
Yeah, it got annoying, but there was some retards in the audience that we saw it with that found nothing funnier than, oh, look, there's a spear in front of his dick. Oh, there's a candle. There's a loaf of bread in front of his weenie.
Yeah, they kept going over and over.
And it was just like, stop with this. Yeah. Just stop. It's not funny anymore. Yeah. I mean, either show his dick or don't. You don't have to do the Simpsons movie. I don't know, you didn't see it, but they did a kind of a thing like that where Bart was constantly. They did eventually show Bart's little cartoon wiener. But,
and that's so disturbing.
It was nothing.
What to do about it.
So, anyway, but overall, I think we thought that Beowulf. And it was annoying. A lot of characters yell every minute. It was very campy.
Yeah.
And a lot of kind of laughing at points when I didn't really think that they were really going for laughs. From
the tone. There were issues with the tone.
So, I couldn't
take it seriously because of the way they did it. You also can't take it seriously because no matter what they do with the CGI, and this is some of the most amazing CGI you'll ever see, you've seen to this point.
Yeah.
The eyes still look like cartoon, like it looks like Barbie eyes.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. It looks like dolls. They don't really look like real
people.
The king does really look like Anthony Hopkins, but it's not.
But he's not really looking at you.
Yeah,
it seems
weird.
A little weird.
It's a little odd.
It's off.
Yeah.
It felt like a Disney ride. It
felt like a Shrek kind of thing. Shrek is a take on Disney, and this kind of felt like a take on Lord of the Rings,
right?
in its own way, even the Lord of the Rings part.
I'm actually going to recommend you see it, but just know that you're going to be annoyed by it.
I know our audience, and I think our audience would get something out of it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't I'm not going to recommend my dad go see it.
Oh, hell no.
I'm not going to recommend, you know, like, if you don't care about 3D and fantasy, that don't go see this. You're going to just be, it's going to be annoying to a lot of people.
Yeah, I think our listeners, by and large, might like
it. If you dig video games and that kind of
stuff.
That's
what it is. It's like a video game cutscene.
Then enjoy, then go enjoy Beowulf, because it's worth the money, especially if you see it in 3D. The IMAX 3D, I didn't see it in, but like I said, I saw
it's
Superman
only
going to
be
IMAX
louder
3D.
And bigger.
Go see a digital 3D. That's my recommendation. Right. Because the IMAX are going to charge you more money. I don't really see the advantage in that. We saw Transformers in IMAX.
The IMAX option, might as well take a shot at it.
Digital 3D, I think, is the way to go for this one.
Sure.
There's a lot of theaters. They just built a new theater in Detroit that's all digital projection.
Yeah.
So look that up. We saw it in a digital theater in Novi, Michigan.
Is that the one at the Partridge Creek Mall?
Yes, it is. And
it was fucking stupid.
Okay. But go see it in digital 3D, because remember, it's made digitally. So you want to see it digitally projected, and it's all digital.
Our show is made digital.
Pillar to point, yes. So no, actually, technically, our show is... actually, analog first.
So then listen to this show on vinyl.
Well, first of all, it's always going to be analog because there's real voices, so that's analog. But we're using an analog mixing board, and we're making it, recording it digitally.
What if we did this show in the 40s? We have to come out with
a wax cylinder?
Like wax cylinders.
It's wax cylinder number 147.
The 1920s. It's the Corey and Joel radio program. Hey, Joel, how about that Herbert Hoover? He's a real card, isn't he?
I went down to the Nickelodeon last week, Corey.
Oh, did you now?
Yes,
say,
I did.
What
yeah.
do you know? Oh, my.
I saw Wizard of Oz for the 19th time. They'll never do better than that.
Have you seen the pegs on that Hedy Lamarr? What a tomato she is.
Corey and Joel, retro.
Yeah.
We should do that. We should do a Corey and Joel from every era.
Oh, you know, that's how about for the anniversary?
We'll do like a bootleg pirate radio 60 style show.
We're coming at you now with the Corey and Joel radio show. Now dig that tricky dick.
We'll do like a 70s Dr. Demento style show.
Wonk, 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 wonk. Yeah.
We'll do an 80s style top 40 radio. It's the morning zoo.
You
waka,
know what?
Waka.
I kind of want to do that.
It sounds like a lot of work.
Let's produce those up.
Yeah. It's a lot of work that I'm thinking you're not doing. That's why I'm thinking
I'm doing the comedy.
It's a lot of work that I'm gonna end up doing for that bullshit. I don't know, but
we'll work on it.
But anyway, Beowulf, I would recommend it. So I think on a letter grade I would give it like a C+.
I think that's what I gave it in the paper.
Give it a 7 out of 10 or something. Yeah. It's just on the edge of being
I believe that's what I gave in the paper.
If the story wasn't so corny, I would definitely recommend it. But if the story was just too cheesy and corny for me. So
and you can read my official review on the Metro Times, www.metrotimes.com.
MetroTimes.com. You can read Corey's review of Beowulf.
Also, this week I've got an interview with Lewis Black.
Oh, okay. There you go.
That was really funny. He was great.
He was good?
Well, he was just like pissed off.
Yeah?
And he was just like, he was it was early in the morning in L.A. and he was like getting room service all the time.
Yeah.
And like he was, I'm sorry. I don't mean to be this depressing. I really am sorry.
What is he promoting? Is he coming to town?
He's on tour, yeah.
Oh, where's he playing in Detroit?
I believe the Fox.
Really?
Yeah.
He's so big now.
He's huge.
Because he was playing, I think I worked with him, I think the last time he did the Comedy Castle in Royal Oak and I opened for him.
Right.
And he was just starting to break real big at that point.
The Daily Show made him a big star.
Right. He was on Daily Show at that point and he was getting to be real big. But I think what happened was there was a whole like wave of comics that kind of broke out in the early 2000s.
And he was definitely one.
Yeah, and he was one of them. And so I kind of worked with Lewis before.
Lewis is a good guy, big time. and a great comic. So.
He's a nice guy, and he's a great comic. Yeah,
I've interviewed him a couple times, so I feel he's.
Yeah, go see Lewis Black.
Get a grip on him.
It'll cost you $1,000 probably to see.
It will
Lewis
be
Black
expensive,
out.
But he's also got a show coming out on Comedy Central.
Oh, does he really?
Called The Root of All Evil, and he said it's all comics, so it's non-union.
Oh, okay.
We talked about why there's no union in comedy.
Oh, okay.
Because you know what are how you can't even get comics to fucking pay a tab.
Yeah,
comics
exactly.
Won't even pay a tab at the pizzeria.
They're not going to pay their dues either.
Well, how are they going to? Yeah.
But you know what the thing with that is? You know, it was funny. There was a lot of debate on our forum about the writer strike.
Yes.
And most of it is that there's one guy who's being an a-hole. In my opinion, Sean Stone, you're being a dick.
Yeah.
He seems to hate the writers union.
It's just kind of a strange opinion coming from him, which, well, you know, I know Sean pretty well.
And I have no problem with him having an opinion, but the debate has been beaten over the head a million times.
Yeah.
You have the Euro opinion from Niels.
Sure.
Yeah, I think that labor unions are wonderful things. I think that, you know, and there's a lot of...
Niels is defending the labor unions even as the train goes on strike. This was great.
Well, I no longer need to travel outside of my apartment. I will stay here and sustain my life.
What I will do is I will astral project myself to my job. I will send my essence. I will project it from my body.
So anyway, Neil, you know, but anyway.
I project my essence several times a night on an Asian porno website.
I believe. But part of that I was thinking about that, and I go, wow, that kind of ties into what we did last week with Sabo.
Yeah.
Whereas if we actually had a union,
right.
And we're talking to Sabo, and Sabo's argument, just to summarize, was we were bitching about how much money he's paying his comics that go do his gigs, you know, because Steve promotes all these comedy gigs. And we said, well, why do you pay so little money? And he goes, well, then I get more gigs. Mm-hmm. So what he was saying is, look, if I pay the workers less, he gets more work. He makes more the less he pays.
And
he
gets a percentage off what the bar owners get.
Right.
Him.
So but what he's saying is that he undercuts the other bookers.
Yeah.
So the less he charges the club for the show, the more work he gets, which is just another way that we get screwed for not having a union.
Honestly, Steve's a middleman, and most comics actually don't even need a Steve. They just go right to the club owner.
Well, you and I could go to the club owners and say, well, how would you feel about a show with me, Corey, and Joel, and Mike Lundy? And give us $500 or whatever we would say.
Right.
And the club would say, yeah, maybe, or maybe. You know, but it's the agents make it easier to do the work.
Sure.
That's a part of the job that you don't have to do.
But there are clubs that you can book yourself. And
you can book yourself in. But then again, you know, there's somebody at the club that sort of serves that.
Yeah.
But Sabo, you know, and again, I don't hate Sabo or in any way or anything, but it's just another example of why people are bitching about the writers, and it's like, well, at least they have that protection.
Yes.
Would you rather be a completely independent guy who's trying to, you know, to set up a pay scale and a level of benefits for a worker, especially in entertainment business, which oftentimes is really crazy and wide open, I think is a good thing.
Well, it absolutely is a good thing, and I don't want to sound like I'll be accused of being this big lefty. You know, I don't see anything bad with the unions. Okay, I've been in New York City. You ever go to New York City? There's 14 guys in orange vests standing around in the corner with a shovel. Well, there's a big hole in the road.
Exactly.
And they're on a coffee break from about 8 a.m. to about 2:30 in the afternoon.
They're whistling at girls while one guy's digging.
Right. Hey, look at the gay! Look at that!
Look at that, mamacita! Mwah, mwah. Yeah, they're doing a lot of that.
I understand what the union does. I understand. Yeah. But my argument is always, if we didn't have any unions, see what would happen.
Yeah. Right? I sort of agree with that. I mean, you know what? In this thing...
My grandfather was in the union for the UAW for 50 years.
Yeah.
And they had a good living,
sure,
and bought me shit for Christmas.
Yeah, and that,
because
and
of the union,
and that's what's good about that is anytime you have a, you know, guys who've, you know, a trade or something that can, you know, I understand that it seems frilly that you're show business and, you know.
Well, I also hate that argument that the writing isn't a trade.
Right. Yeah.
That bothers me because you know, working on a sitcom is just as hard as doing a lot of union trade work.
Right.
I mean, okay, no, they're not in a foundry pouring fucking hot metal into a cauldron.
Yeah.
But you write the jokes on...
It's work, yeah.
You write the jokes on How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
And tell me if it's not a pain in the ass.
Well, here's the thing. Stand-up comedy is still a job. And no matter what your job is, there are days that you don't want to go in there and do it.
Sure.
And for comics, it's the same way. There's days, God damn it, we don't want to go.
I don't want to go to my job right now. I got a gig after the show.
Leaving. I mean, there's times, not that we get paid for this, but there's times where we go, God, we got to do a show.
Sure.
Today almost fits that description where we were like.
So what I recommend is get on the mailing list.
Yeah.
Get on the lunch fund and pay us.
Well, we'll get to the lunch fund. But
we're going to unionize this bitch.
Well, like I did a gig. Explain if this one. I drove about 3 hours to the middle of Ohio and showed up at this gig. And the owner of the – and I was talking to people at the gig, and there was, like, nobody there. And I go, how come there's nobody here? And they're like, well, there's other stuff going. It's a little one-horse town, New Regal, Ohio. And they're like, well, they're roasting a pig at the American Legion. And I'm like, what? They're like, yeah, they're having a pig roast at the American Legion. So there's not really going to be a lot of people here tonight.
A bullshit artist.
And I go, is that it? I go, that can't pop. And I'm on stage asking people. I'm like, there's not a lot of people here. Why? And then
they're all at the pig roast.
And then another guy raised his hand. He's like, it's not just that. There's other stuff going on. I go, what else is going on? He goes, Butch is having a party tonight. I'm like, you're fucking shitting me. Butch is having a, and he goes, yeah, Butch is having a party. And they were like, and I was like, Butch is having a party. And that's why there's nobody at this gig. Because Butch is having a, and it was like, yeah.
Shit.
So imagine me wanting to be at that gig. Imagine how much I hated to be there at that point.
You know what, though? It's so true.
Yeah.
When you play a town like Sheboygan,
yeah.
When you play the Dirty Duck,
yeah.
And it's not even in Sheboygan, it's in Indian River, Michigan.
Sure.
When you play that, you're playing a bar in the middle of a fucking cornfield.
Right.
There's a golf course across the way.
Yeah.
Nothing else for miles around. And that's all these people have to do.
Yeah, and I'm like,
and then when they don't show up then, you're really fucked.
But I mean, that's why, you know, people say, well, comedy's not a job. But man, you fucking drive to the middle of Ohio and try to make 10 drunks laugh. While they were all wishing they were at the fucking pig roast at the American Legion.
I bet Butch's party's better than this.
Yeah. Guys were literally leaving.
Butch's got corn chips,
like,
man.
The show hadn't started yet, and I was sitting at the bar, and guys were like, I gotta go, man. I'm going over to Legion.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going pig roast.
Butch got Fritos. Let's go.
And it was like, it was the stupidest excuse for, like, you always hear about shows. Well, you know.
Butch's having
like,
a
you
party.
Always go to these towns, like, oh, you should have been here last week. That's the oldest line in comedy. Oh, last week was great. And you're like, well, what was going on last week? Well, it was sweetest day, and we were packed. And, you know, there's always some excuse or, you know, well, you know, what happened is now, you know, the weather's changing, and people, you know, people aren't going out as much or, you know.
See, every now and then you will get a town that really is the comedy night's a big deal for them.
Yeah.
But most of them, you get the lies
well,
about
but for this town, they said every night had been great except for this one because there was a pig roast and Butch was having a party. And that ruined the show. Actually, the show ended up being
fine. You know what you should have done? You should have gone over to Butch's party and done jokes over there.
Actually, it ended up being a fine enough show for who was there, but they were like, we usually have three times this amount of people. And I could see if it would have been really good had it been packed. What? But it was like Butch was having a party. And I'm like, that's a job. That's a job to go to a town, to drive 3 hours each way, make very little money, and try to entertain people who wish they were at Butch's party.
Once
that's friggin' work. I don't care what anyone says.
Once PJ and I did an AmVets in Adrian, Michigan, which is about 40 minutes
outside
of Ann
Arbor.
Sounds
horrible as well, yeah.
So it's like an hour and a half, 2 hours. And we got there. And there were like three people there. One of them was an old lady on oxygen.
Yeah.
And her husband was pulling the oxygen mask off to put a cig in her mouth so she could drain that last little bit of nicotine before the lungs collapsed.
Yeah.
And we were sitting there going, are you kidding me? And the only thing that saved us is that the softball team finished early and came in.
Oh, of course.
You know, that's what happened. You know, we were fucked until the softball team filled up.
Yeah, but comedy is work. Writing a show, even if it sounds, you know, stupid to you, is work. You know, anything that requires effort is work.
Now, am I going to cry for the people? No. Is anybody in danger in Hollywood? Because
no.
Some unions, their purpose is to prevent unsafe work environments.
Yeah.
Before the advent of unions, guys worked in fucking ridiculous conditions in like windowless tubes, dying from.
Well, there's like all kinds of. Remember, there was all the garment district fires, and people were getting burned alive in factories, and exits were chained shut, and
absolutely
shit like that.
You read the what's the Upton Sinclair book about the meatpacking industry?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah,
but at the turn of the century,
the jungle.
And guess what? Given a chance. We would return to that in a minute.
Yeah, I know.
So that's why we support the union.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's look.
They can amp this up any fucking time.
And here's the thing, too, about the unions is whenever there's a labor dispute, both sides get ugly with their, with the rhetoric. And Sean is all like, well, why do the writers bitch? The writers have this, and they're bitching about how they can't feed their families. Well, everybody uses that line. It's just a line. It's all rhetoric. And none of it means shit. But they're going to get more money. They're going to go back. It's just a matter of when. When the strike hurts the industry enough, they'll re-sign these guys, and that'll be.
Believe me, Jeff Zucker can feed his family.
There's only one.
He can buy a lot of honey baked hams, that Jew.
I mean, what union has ever really been broken? I mean, I guess the air traffic controllers. Reagan busted them pretty good.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, it's not.
But they've got a union now.
They got a union now. Yeah, so, you know, it's just I understand why people.
Americans aren't all anti-union. Just there's been a lot of propaganda since Reagan, to try and get guys to hate you. There's been a subtle anti-union propaganda since then.
Well, here's what I'll say: if you're the guys who are in unions are generally doing better than the guys who aren't.
Sure.
So you know, if you can get yourself if I had to do it all over again, I might take a union job. It doesn't sound that bad to me.
You look, my old idiot roommate that burned the house down with his jib fingers. because he was playing EverQuest at 4 a.m. and he left a cigarette burning.
Okay.
He was working at Ford in the union and was making, you know, 50K a year.
Yeah, those guys make good money. Right. And even something like teachers, where people dump on like the starting pay for teachers, which is not great compared to other jobs.
Starting pay for teachers is terrible. And they
it's terrible.
These teachers' unions are taking money.
But the thing about the teachers is, you know how much money you get when you actually have some tenure?
Talk to
a 20-year-old teacher with the benefits. What? And the vacation and the money they make.
Teachers all retired.
They make
55.
Incredible money. My stepmother is a teacher. Yeah. She makes great money.
Right.
I mean, great, ridiculous money.
If I went back to my high school right now, all the teachers would be gone that I knew.
And they
because they all retired.
Well, you know what? And you know what? They need to have a union because they would try to push those guys out.
Absolutely.
You know, I remember I had a teacher in high school, and he had been teaching for like 30 years at my high school. He's my chemistry teacher, right. Mr. Hayfield. And there was an opening for an administrator. One of the vice principals left. And we talked to him, and we're like, how come you don't want to be an administrator? And he goes, there's no benefits.
Right.
He goes, I'm making way more money teaching.
Sure.
Like, isn't that a step up? And he goes, hell no, it's not a step up. He's like, it's great money to teach.
Now, granted, some of those old buzzards need to go.
I understand that.
I had a teacher, Mr. Riley. Well, I didn't actually have him, but he was in my school. And everybody loved him. He was like this old grandpa. Dude had a colostomy bag and like, and it was on like a cane and must have been like in his late
70s. Yeah, that's
we're like, get out. Get out. And no one was pushing him out the door. He was 100 years old.
Well, and I'm sure, you know what? He was making the same money.
Right.
I mean, he was making, for the same work, he was probably making, you know, 4 or 5 times the money he started. And it's amazing the money he makes.
I had a teacher in like first grade who I remember telling us about how terrible it was when kids had polio and how she took them all to get vaccinated. I'm like, my God, you know?
You know, it's like, amazing.
The old people.
Well, the thing about teaching, as far as I know from people who do it, is that the starting salary, I guess, depending upon the state that you're in, is almost like it's like fixed.
Yeah.
So everybody starts for the same money. So it is kind of bullshit in that regard. But as the longer you do it, the more money you get. And I'll tell you, those people are there's some happy folks.
What I say is, folks, look, I know you don't want to pay taxes, but we got to give some teachers some money, because otherwise you're going to be ending up with no education and working at honey-baked ham.
Oh, there you go.
And you're going to be fighting 45 angry black women with big purses.
I need to get my ham on. Woo! Tying it all together, Corey.
Thank you.
Hall.
Callbacks. All right, it's break time.
It is break time, but let's just do it. We'll do a quick plug. You mentioned the lunch fund. If it is holiday time, don't forget about your podcast homies, Corey and Joel here.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to send us some dough, send us a little holiday bread, something. We are using, I want to thank the great Cam from Yellowknife in the Northwest Territories. We have a new mic stand that is supporting Corey's microphone today.
Sure.
And that is courtesy of Cam and the lunch fund. So if you want to give us a little money, go to the main page of CoreyandJoelRadio.com.
Maybe it's time to rethink the lunch fund name.
Well,
I got a new name for it.
What's that?
Toys for Tits.
Well,
what it is, if we need to get more drunken whores in here,
well,
we got to buy vodka.
That's true.
Okay? So your dollars, I guarantee, will go into buying booze to get girls in the hot tub.
The lunch fund
that's
came
how
from
it works.
A guy who... I don't know what happened, but a guy said, I don't know how the lunch fund is. Remember a guy sent us a bunch of money and said, have some lobster. I think that was Jim from DC who sent us some money last year. But anyway, if you want
to. More importantly than sending us money, get your rich friends to listen to the show.
Yes.
Find the richest guy you know and tell him about our hilarious
comedy.
Yeah,
but if you like the show, we've given you a whole nother year of comedy here. It's almost the end of the year. If you enjoy the show that we do for you every week, go over to the main page of CoreyandJoelRadio.com. Right on the front page, you can use PayPal or a credit card. And send us whatever you want for money. We're supposed to send guys. We still have some stuff, too. Why don't we send out gifts? Why don't we do that?
Okay.
For the end of the year, we have headshots that we will sign.
Sure.
And we will sign those for you. Or you can choose I think we have enough roast posters. If anyone wants that debacle.
We will steal underwear from Joel's roommates.
No, I won't, but Corey will. And there you go.
We will pinch them from the laundry bin. All right. Oddly enough, after that shameless plug, here's a song called Nag, Nag, Nag.
Nag, Nag, Nag by Art Brute. Listen to this. It'll be our break song. We'll be back with more show right after this.
Wet trousers in the washing machine. But I'd rather be damned than seen in jeans. Something. Someone should have told me. hands on, I made my escape. I'm in a film with personal soundtrack. I'm leaving home and I'm never gonna come back. Learning lyrics from the CD inlay to impress people with the stupid things I say. Something someone should have told me. A record collection reduced to a mixtape. Headphones on, I made my escape. I'm in a film with personal soundtrack. I'm leaving home and I'm never gonna come back. A record collection reduced to a mixtape. Headphones on, I made my escape. I'm in a film with personal soundtrack. I'm leaving home and I'm never gonna come back. Bedroom to hide in. Now I'm outside deciding. Older but wiser, this song's the decider. Is it the sound of a man wrestling with emotion, or the sound of him losing and causing commotion? I'm nothing for my peers but envy and hatred. How many girls have they seen naked? Something someone should have told me. A record collection reduced to a mixtape. Headphones on, I made my escape. I'm in a film with personal soundtrack. I'm leaving home and I'm never gonna come back. A record collection reduced to a mixtape. Headphones on, I made my escape. I'm in a film with personal soundtrack. I'm leaving home and I'm never gonna come back. A record collection.
All right, so we're back here, Corey and Joel Radio, show 147. I have the television on.
Sorry, you got the local news on there doing their cooking segment.
Yeah, I like this chick, Nina Santafante. I think okay. She's cute. But should we get audio? Do you want to pull live audio? What you want to plug into the? Why don't you plug into the old sound system there? Because what we're going to listen to here, it's going to be strictly audio for you guys at home, but maybe I can pull this for YouTube or something. But I shot that TV commercial. I think I talked about that. Didn't I talk about that on the show?
Briefly, yeah.
Yeah, I talked about how I shot a TV commercial, and it started airing. So why don't we...
Let's enjoy this. Excuse me while I adjust my mic.
Try to...
I have a new mic stand. Hopefully it's not squeaking.
No, I think it's good. I think your mic stand's all right.
All right. Oh, look, they're stuffing, Joel. You put that in the oven.
They are. I don't know why.
Who stuffed that old broad?
That's a good question. I know.
We're awful.
Let me figure out what's going on here technically with the audio here. All right, I have audio. I have mute there. And then I don't have... Okay, maybe we... I don't know what's going on. All right. I have no idea why we have no sound. Oh, I know, because you're potted down. That's why. There
bake the sweet potatoes, which naturally caramelizes
there
the flavor.
See, there it is.
And mash them right. And put them in a casserole with
this
a
is your
pecan
Thanksgiving
streusel topping. Pecans are great for you. It gives a nice crunch.
All right, so this is my commercial.
Why are we listening to this?
I don't know, because here's my commercial, though.
All right.
Sometimes it makes a good deal.
Oh, look at that.
See, I wanted to show you the whole thing. Watch the whole thing.
Okay.
This is after the Carl's Golf Land.
Carl's Golf Land.
We'd like to know.
So after this, you'll see me.
Need to hit more greens?
How are you? Why are they running golf commercials in November? Like you can golf.
Because people are probably buying gifts of golf clubs or something.
Business.
All right, so here it is, ABC Warehouse.
Makes my job at Carl's Golf Land.
Right. Oh, more Carl's Golf
Land. I didn't know that there was two Carl Golf Land commercials in a row.
Oh, and then it goes right into this.
Okay, so this is from ABC Warehouse. It's a closing to wholesale. I'm sure they'll take the free advertising on our show. This is a they sell TVs and appliances, yes. Electronics, that kind of stuff, car stereos.
It's kind of before Best Buy.
Yeah,
this is a remnant.
It's sort of a remnant. It's the old, you know. Yeah. Sharp salesman with a pinky ring trying to sell you a washer and dryer. It's this kind of place. ABC Warehouse.
Do they get it off the back of the truck and it falls off?
It's not quite like that.
Making you happy? Easy.
All right, there's Carl's Golf Land.
At ABC, every time we give a great deal, we celebrate with the
guy
customer.
From ABC.
There's the basic grip. That's a high five.
That's our friend Chris that was in that
the
last
back
scene.
Of his head. I could
okay, now this is the point of this is that when you make a deal with this guy, he's the owner of the company, Gordy, you give him a high five or a special handshake. So that's what's going on here. They're celebrating their good deals.
And a black woman pounding
the bear hug.
Yes.
The forearm chuck.
And then this kid
and
slapped
I'm not PJ even sure Jacobs. What to call that.
I know who
well,
that
you know
guy
PJ.
Is.
Sometimes I make such a good deal.
And there,
oh.
they get a little carried away.
There I am in the background.
Warehouse, the closest thing to wholesale.
Joel shaking
good
hands.
With sold
yes, with a really
get a Samsung 50-inch 720p projection.
Were you a salesman or a client?
I was a customer. What I did is I walked into the ABC Warehouse and the final celebration. Because
you're wearing a blazer.
Yes, I'm wearing a blazer because I was like, I don't know, it's casual.
And I'm
but,
not even sure what to call that.
So anyway,
sometimes
they celebrate by pouring Gatorade over his head, which is what we do at the end of an American football game. And that's our friend Chris D'Angelo shaking hands with Gordy right now. And they get hit with the – and I'm in the background talking to a really cute girl playing a saleswoman.
Okay.
Right away.
ABC Warehouse.
Well, you're prominently, I mean, you
I'm
can
I'm a prominent background person in the course.
Get a Samsung
so.
50-inch 720p
there it is.
Projection DLP
HD TV. Well, good for you.
Thank you for that. There you go.
You are clearly seen. You didn't have any lines. It wasn't
didn't
a,
have any lines,
wasn't
but
embarrassing.
I wasn't supposed to have any lines, but that's okay. I got right. good money for that, and you can plug that computer back in. I will keep it potted down so as not to fry our listeners' ears, but my commercial debut, there it is, Joel Fragamenti. Yeah, and I showed that to people, and they were like, oh, yeah, we did see it. I was like, okay. Because a lot of people, because, you know, I was in the background of most of those other scenes, like just walking around, and you can't really see me in any of the other ones.
Mm-hmm. You were
they
great.
See me there. I thank you.
Funny, funny, funny comedy.
I walked in. I shook the sales girl's hand while they poured Gatorade
well, I mean, you can see your
on
scene.
The owner's head.
You're in the shot.
Yeah, you can absolutely see my face and my whole.
Yeah, that's good.
My big, giant gut.
It's, not like, the movie I was an extra in. Where I believe my elbow is visible in one
really?
Shot.
Really? Okay.
Like, yeah, it's bad.
Well, I had to watch an episode of CSI the other night because there's this chick I knew who's like, I was an extra in CSI.
Yeah.
And I watched it, and like, there was a group scene that she very well could have been in, like a crowd scene. She's like this goth chick. That's kind of what she looks like anyway. So she was cast as a goth extra.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out she was the girl that got killed in CSI. She was like her friend who was in a picture of her hanging on the wall.
In her dorm room.
In her dorm room. And that was that was her on CSI. You could totally see it was her, but it was kind of like, wow, that's I think my extra work was a little more. Yeah, it's not CSI. It's a stupid local commercial. But
another one of my crazy old teachers, getting back to the guys who never retired because of the union, was this guy, Mr. Thompson, who taught history and drama in junior high.
Yeah.
So like 7th grade, 6th grade. His big claim to fame was that he had a car. He had like a classic car, like an old Stutz Bearcat that was in a shot in Beverly Hills Cop.
Okay, that's retarded. That's not that.
He's like,
dumb.
Look, I'm driving next to Eddie right here in this shot.
That's pretty silly.
He did like industrial videos and stuff.
Yeah.
In his off hours.
Sure.
He was an actor. Guy had like the longest nose hair I've ever seen
did
in my
he?
Life. And I'm like, how do you get on camera with that?
That's well, Conan O'Brien did that.
Yeah,
a long time. He was.
I think he showed us one time. It was like him talking to a doctor about drugs. Yeah. So.
Commercial success. There it is.
Well, good job.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I knew that shot was going to get used because it was the big climactic thing. We shot it right at the end of the first day, and I'm like, the direction that I got was walk into the ABC warehouse and you're greeted by a sales girl. She was walking from one point and she met me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we picked a spot that we would meet, and I was like, I know I'm going to be in the shot, so I really kind of dilly-dallied and walked slow. It's because I knew I was going to get a little FaceTime if I knew this was a big shot.
Right.
It was going to be used, and I couldn't see the monitor of what was actually being shot, but I'm like, I'm like right behind these
you
guys.
You waited until the bucket came
yeah,
out.
I waited. I was like, oh, let me just stand right here and kind of stop. And sometimes, you know, they would tell you to walk quickly through the scene and stuff, but yeah, I'm like almost in focus, too. It's great.
Yeah.
I'm almost in focus.
No, it was okay.
Yeah, it was all right. It was fun to do. So.
And Chris D'Angelo is a guy we know that
yeah, and
he's
who's
in the...
How do you know that other guy, PJ?
He's an improv
Yeah, he's an improv
actor.
Yeah. And so was that chick that I was working with, the blonde girl that was the saleswoman. She does improv. There's a lot of people. Some of those other actors I've seen in other commercials.
And PJ Jacobs was in the TV, the show that Amy worked on.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They shot like 12 episodes of this sci-fi show that's never going to be seen anywhere. They showed it in the movie theater here, but like...
Yeah, no one went.
Well, no, people went, but it's like, but, you know, no one else.
I'm supposed to go to a local horror movie double feature.
Yeah?
Where my friend Sandra is in both movies.
Right.
I'm supposed to go to that in a couple weeks. So,
people make local movies here all the time, and I get to see or be involved in a lot of them due to, you know, either my girlfriend working on them or me reviewing them.
Well, it was great when we went to Beowulf, and the guy busted your chops to review his movie.
Yeah, a guy came running up to review the movie. He's like, "Ah, Mr. Hall, I'm like, calm down. Calm down, sporty." And I'm like, "Here, just give me your card, and I'll..."
Well, the guy was like, "I got this movie. Will you review it?" And it's like, it's not coming out till like February or something.
I never said,
like,
I'll review it. I just said, send me what you got.
Right, but he was kind of like, he wanted you to commit to reviewing it. Meanwhile, I don't think it's done.
No.
Or if it is done, it's not ready to be shown, and he's begging you to, you know, watch something that's not even ready to be shown.
First of all, it's not done, and I'm not. It's not entirely up to me.
Sure,
I got an editor.
Right.
That.
But I mean, the guy was like, it was kind of out of line what he did, because it's like, you know, you're there to review Beowulf or whatever you're doing, and you know, I guess he just saw an opportunity where like there's going to be critics at this screening. Yeah. And if I can get a hold of you, I don't know exactly who was there. Was Tom Long there? Were the big guys
Tom
there?
Was there, yeah. Yeah. From the Detroit News. I'm thinking that my name must have been on the seat. Sometimes they'll actually put my name
on it. Yeah, I don't know.
I think it said Corey Hall on the seat.
I don't know.
Sometimes they'll print them up and put them on the seat.
I don't know. I didn't see that.
The reserve one.
I don't think
that might have been what it was.
I don't think you're that big. But
No, but they do that for everybody, for all the critics that they know are coming.
Well, maybe the pub girl told them too.
Could have been.
The publicist might have told him. I'm
thinking my name was on the seat.
Right. Corey's name's not on the seat. But anyway, folks.
It happens sometimes. It doesn't happen every time.
I would have seen your name on a seat.
Maybe it just said press.
I saw Long's name on a seat. I didn't see your name on a seat.
Sometimes if I tell them I'm coming, they put my name, they save one for me.
You know what I'm going to do in the future? I'm going to put your name on your seat right here on the show. So then you'll feel good that your name...
It doesn't happen every time. It happens maybe 20% of the time, but sometimes they make up a sheet. I'll bring one next time they put my name on the...
Well, you can print. I can print out a thing with my name and say...
Well, the fucking publicity company does it.
But you feel disrespected if your name's not on the seat?
No, I don't give a shit. I'm just thinking that the kid saw my name on the seat. That's what I'm thinking. What are you laughing about?
It's just funny to hear
extra boy. Do they have your name on your chair?
No.
At the ABC warehouse show?
No. It says Upchuck the Clown on the back of my outfit when I work for ICP. I guess that's a close equivalent.
Yeah. It's hard to spot you in the crowd in your clown makeup.
Oh, by the way, if anyone wants to see me, I'll put this in the forum, I think. I'm on the new episode of JCW Slam TV.
Oh.
That is up now on InsaneClownPosse.com. If you want to watch wrestling,
okay.
I'm the ring announcer for the wrestling matches.
Yeah.
And I even have an encounter with Shaggy 2 Dope that I talked about on the show.
Sure.
If you want to watch that encounter, go over to InsaneClownPosse.com.
Shaggy 2 Dope.
Find the latest, the Hollow Wicked edition of Slam TV, and you'll see me in full outfit introducing various wrestlers in wrestling matches from St. Andrews Hall in Detroit. And you can watch me on there.
For all that flavor.
Yes. And it's great. Scott Hall is on this episode, and there's a match with Necro Butcher.
You get to see...
And Madman Pondo.
Joel and Scott Hall go to the liquor store and pick up Wild Turkey.
Scott, did I tell you that story about Scott?
He couldn't go near the booze.
Yeah, he saw the beer that they laid out for us and went like, ooh, I can't touch that. Yeah. So I don't think he had a drink. Scott was a good guy.
Yeah.
Scott Hall's like this notorious wrestler who was like a drunk.
Yeah,
a
we talked about this.
Did we? Okay. Yeah. But Scott was on his best behaviors. He was a good guy. Very nice guy.
See, I get to meet celebrities all the time. Joel gets to meet wrestlers all the time, and I think that's kind of cool.
Well,
I like some of the.
You
had breakfast with Terry Funk.
I did have breakfast with Terry Funk,
and that's something to be proud of.
I had an English muffin in a hotel lobby night. You know how they have the little breakfast room,
the little continental.
It was
breakfast.
Like the little continental breakfast thing, and it was me and Terry Funk, and I actually sat down with him. But I was too nervous to talk to Ultimo Dragon. I don't know. That freaked me out a little bit.
Yeah,
Ultimo Dragon kind of was like it was too.
Well,
it was too
say?
Intense.
Oh, Jules.
Hey.
Dragon-san,
hi.
Hi.
Ultimo clown. Upchuck the clown. No, I don't know.
Upchuck clown this.
I'm sure he speaks decent English, but, you know, he was there. Great Muda was there, another guy who I love from Japan. I didn't talk to him.
Upchuck, you my nigga.
No, but
I give you a big up. I feel where you come from.
Can I hook you horn, Upchuck?
Yeah.
No. But, you know, I mean, I actually.
He wouldn't say that because the Juggalos.
Yeah.
Even though it's white guys in clown makeup doing rap, are very careful about the racial overtones.
What? Nigga?
Yeah, they would not say
that. You know, it's funny. There are...
Upchuck, you my ninja!
No, they use nigga occasionally.
Okay.
There's some of the songs from the artist they use. Twisted uses nigga occasionally.
Okay. I wish I had Queensryche.
Don't have Queensryche. But, you know, but anyway, enough about that. Oh.
I'm just thinking Ultima Dragon.
Ultima.
I am a down with crown. I am a so down with crowns. These are like time I beat Ryger for the title.
Yes.
Oh, Jay Crown Belt. Anyway.
Yeah, so, yeah. I guess I do get to meet those guys, awful. And that's cool.
With the honey-baked ham material, and now this.
Well, your thing was that honey-baked ham was black. I didn't really see that.
The line, believe me.
Well.
The line was black tonight. Well, it's last minute, Joel.
It's last minute. That's what I mean, yeah.
Who do you think's getting last minute honey-baked ham?
Whitey's were there at 8 a.m. and called ahead.
Right. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Yeah, my dad and stepmom had to get a shrimp tray picked up.
Uh-huh.
My dad's like, God damn it, I got to pick up the shrimp tray.
I got to get my scramps.
You know, and like my stepmom's like, well, yeah, you just have to go in. And he's like, it's going to be full of people. I don't want to go to the shrimp
right.
tray. All arguing about the shrimp tray.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, lordy, lordy, lordy. What else is going on? Anything new on TV that we've been watching? Have you been watching?
The strike's going to adversely affect
me. Yeah, but I'm not really. Apparently, you know what could be a part of the strike is that there could be CBS is apparently in talks with the Ultimate Fighting Championship to add.
Oh, really?
Primetime UFC matches.
Wow.
To their
CBS?
Yeah, CBS.
You think that'd be more of a Fox kind of deal?
You know what? I don't know, but CBS. So there you go. Huh. That'd be interesting.
They're really trying to hip up the demo, aren't they?
There is talk that, you know, a lot of that stuff could come. You know what? I deleted it. Did you see Frank TV?
God, no.
I saw the debut of Frank TV. This is a sketch. And, you know, it was a sketch comedy show with Frank Caliendo, who was on Mad TV and he's kind of famous.
It's not funny.
All right, stop. I didn't even give my review yet.
Freaking unfunny.
I didn't even give my review.
How can it be funny for those goddamn commercials?
Yeah, the commercials were kind of annoying. I laughed a couple times. It was no better or worse than SNL or Mad TV. Yeah. It is weird, though. He does, like, every character. Like, they did his, he did a bit about it was Seinfeld in the future. They were all going to reunite in the year 2027 for Seinfeld.
Sure.
And it wasn't even like they were old, but he did every character.
So he did George and Kramer and Jerry.
And Jerry and Elaine. And he did all four of them, and they kind of, like, did, like, I don't know, they must have put it together in post.
And
you
Elaine?
Know? He did Elaine, a big fat Elaine, yeah. And they did it in 20, and they didn't even do the characters being old, but it was like George Costanza walks into Jerry's apartment. He's like, can you believe they towed my hover car? You know, it was all like stuff from the future. And yeah, go, he did it better than me, believe it or not. Believe it or not, his Costanza was better than mine.
Being a comedian is much harder than it looks. I mean, really, people look at me and they laugh.
Yeah, I know. And so he did that. He did a sketch with, he did John Madden preparing a turducken. You know, he did stuff like that. It was okay. I can't say I would watch Frank TV regularly, but it wasn't as bad as it could have been. It certainly, he did this thing with Dick Cheney, where like George Bush is giving away Jenna. I guess Jenna Bush is getting married.
They're hunting or something.
And, no, it's like, and then George was too nervous to give her the pre-marriage speech.
Sure.
So Cheney had to come in and talk to her about the birds and the bees.
What a Mr. Electricity Dick Cheney is.
Yeah, and he did Dick Cheney for like 7 minutes, and it was boring as shit.
Well, Dick Cheney's boring.
But it was just not good.
You can't do an impression of Dick Cheney because he's just...
very...
He did that. He kind of crooked his mouth.
Well, that's very...
He did do a Robin Williams that was real funny.
Okay.
He did a Robin
but
Williams.
But was it as good as the next best thing?
The next best thing, Robin Williams guys are good, but Caliendo's funny, though.
Why don't they whip out a new season of that while we're waiting for the writer's strike?
That was summer, wasn't it? Next best thing, I think it was.
Yeah, well, it's time. Bring it out.
Yeah,
it's
almost
3 months.
Bring out the summer shows. Well, they're talking about bringing out a celebrity Big Brother to kill the strike. You know, to try to put on.
You know what? That'll kill the strike because America will go, fucking
come,
end this.
People will
end it now and come back to work.
People will come right back. They'll be like, fuck
I want to watch ER. Fuck this. Get this over with. Come on.
Yeah, so, there's talk about some shows filling in for the strike. I don't think the strike's been. I know The Office is off, and I don't know if that's because they didn't have any new
ones.
They
were done. You know what? You know what they stupidly did was they did 4-hour episodes in a row.
Yeah, and they burned a lot.
And so there's 3 more weeks of shows they could have spun off.
Yeah.
4 more weeks.
Sure.
They could have split those in half.
Yeah. They kind of blew that up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the strike, whatever. You know, good luck to those guys. Get your money. I'm sure they will, and they'll be back. And
yeah.
Whatever. I heard Leno and Letterman are going to come back without writers.
That's terrible.
Yeah. So I don't know what that means.
You know, they did it in 88, too.
They did. Yeah, I remember seeing the Letterman without writers, and he would do top 10 lists, and they weren't funny at all. But in a way, it was him being in legion with the writers. In other words, he was doing the same bits without the writers, and they weren't. I think he'd been making him deliberately unfunny. And then it was kind of like
and make it look
to try to make it look like, oh, look what happens when you don't have writers.
Well, I hear Letterman's paying his crew throughout the
right. Well, yeah. What it is that, you know, the writers go on strike and then they get a little bit of money from the union.
Right.
But what the problem is when the show shuts down, everybody else, like the cameraman and those guys don't get a check because the show's no longer in production and it's not their fault. So the union doesn't help them.
Well, you
but
know
Letterman personally went out and paid everybody.
But aren't a lot of those crew guys in their own unions?
They're in their own unions, and those guys have gone on strike in the past, too.
So,
I remember,
yeah, so what happens when they get shut down? Does their union cause a stink?
You know what happened when Letterman in the 80s...
Like the electrical union and the contractors and stuff?
All of the tech guys went on strike, the cameramen. And Letterman, and they were doing late night with guys from sales, operating the cameras, and like it was constantly like Dave wasn't framed. Those are so funny. I wish someone would run those old Lettermans. They used to run them all the time. I
see that goes to show you need a union. You need
and
skilled
like
workers.
And it was like camera guys and like you know the shots were all misframed and like they'd cut the stuff and it was just really bad. It was
look,
funny.
Nothing's keeping Craig Ferguson from going back. To
no,
work.
I don't know. Yeah,
because. What are they gonna? They're gonna have to kill his Aquaman sketch.
He's been on strike. They're on strike too.
Right. They'll have to kill his sketch where he puts on fake teeth and plays Prince Charles. But the rest of the time, it's just him talking. It's just like his monologue isn't like jokes. It's like
it's a story.
You know, this one time I was you know.
Yeah. But I think that's written. I think those.
You
guys
know, Drew Carey and I were hanging out one time, and we had four fingers in a stripper. Have you ever gotten four fingers in a stripper? Oh, my naughty little cheeky monkeys.
Well, Leno, I don't think Leno even needs writers. It's just a headline. They've got my headline for anything. I saw this in the paper today.
Doesn't every hack comic send Leno jokes anyway?
Yeah, that's part of it. But I don't know. You know, I think Leno, I mean, he can just go out and do jaywalking.
Yeah.
Like, that's not written by anybody.
Have you seen jaywalking?
Yeah, so let me tell you this. Who is our current Secretary of State?
I don't know, Jay.
Really? Okay. Well, then, who was AJ's friend on... I'm blanking on it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was doing the band leader. I should have been doing the...
should have been doing the dumb guy.
The dumb broad
I thought you were doing
the dumb
black guy on the street. No, that was the dumb black guy band leader. Okay.
All right, let's
do a jaywalking quickly. All right, here we go. All right, can you tell us two members of the Supreme Court?
Diana Ross... And Chardet.
No, I'm sorry. That's not the two members of the Supreme Court. Can you tell me two members of the Backstreet Boys?
J.C. Chazay and Justin Timberlake. Because they would fucking know that's NSYNC.
Very good, very good.
Wait, that's
very
NSYNC.
Good.
I got
well,
the
you got that. You got that right. Yeah. You got that right there. That's good. That's good. That's cute. Jaywalking.
They would know the Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, I was.
You'd be like, name three presidents of the United States.
And they wouldn't know it, but then they would name, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, stuff like that. They would get all of that stuff. And he could do that without writers, Jay, because he's like that.
Yeah, but Jay's got a lot of monologue.
He has monologue, but, you know, and.
But if a talk show, honestly, you can talk to the fucking people.
Right. Well, Ellen tried.
Are some
to,
actors not going to come on because they're supporting the strike?
Probably some people who are like you know actors and writers.
So you know what? You know what it's going to be? It's going to be Jay and the old lady with a potato chip that looks like Art Carney. You know, it's going to be like
coming up tonight. We've got Kid Inventive. We've got the funniest Kid Inventive.
Bird calls. Who wants bird calls?
But you know what?
you know, Johnny used to do that shit all the time. The old lady who has ruffles that are shaped like a hippopotamus.
Well, he did the great one though, where he had she had some.
It was shaped
like Mother Teresa potato chip, and then he swapped it out and he ate another potato chip, and the woman about lost her shit.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny. Johnny you know, was
he
funny.
He had a bowl under the desk.
He had a bowl, and he grabbed one and ate it, and you know it was kind of funny. I'm gonna do what Johnny used to do. I'm gonna eat the potato chips. I'm gonna have a potato chip guy, and I'm gonna do Johnny's bit because. You know, I think it's Johnny's bit. No one really remembers Johnny now. Dead. You know. All of his fans are dead Johnny's fans.
Jimmy Kimmel can do it because his show isn't written anyway.
Well, Ellen tried to do shows.
It was terrible.
And she got a lot of shit and she shut it down. Yeah. She tried to do shows, you know, with the writers on strike.
Well, she's so funny, Joel.
Oh, I know.
She's you've never seen someone as funny as Ellen.
Right.
When she dances?
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen her dancing, Joel?
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen her shaking her hips?
We've done this bit on that show, but she turns... that audience full of housewives into the lesbian bar every fucking
it's
beginning of the show.
You know what? I almost changed my opinion of Obama when he went on and danced with her.
Yeah. Well, the idea, I guess if you're a guest on Ellen, I wasn't aware of this, but you're supposed to dance when you come out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because I remember I was watching, who's my girlfriend that was on 24? What's her name?
Elijah Dushku.
No, not Elijah Dushku.
Oh, no, Cuthbert.
Alicia Cuthbert.
Alicia Cuthbert.
And I remember seeing her dancing, and I'm like, oh, that's hot. She's dancing. And then I realized that's what everyone, I so don't watch that show, but I saw Obama dancing.
Yeah.
And it was like, Obama's going to dance and get down
now,
and show people.
His dancing was better than probably any other presidential candidate. You know what I mean? Because he is African.
Come on. You don't think that Dennis Kucinich can cut a rug?
I bet he. Look, he can munch a rug. Have you seen that wife? Holy crap.
Kucinich has a hot wife?
You never seen his wife?
No. Is she hot?
Oh, my God.
I'm going to look up Dennis Kucinich.
Oh, let me look her up for you.
Well, I can't see your computer.
I'll
over there.
Turn it around.
Dennis Kucinich's wife is hot.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Wow. Yeah, Dennis Kucinich's wife. Let me show you.
Really?
She's a smoking hot young redhead.
Really?
It's unreal.
Yeah, that pain in the ass.
Look at this.
You think coming 74th in the race for president gets you laid, huh? Let me see the Dennis.
Look at
the
that.
The Dennis Kucinich wife. Oh, damn.
No. Would you look at that?
No.
She's with Droopy fucking dog. Look at that.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
Oh, my God. They did a segment.
Dennis Kucinich's wife.
They did a bit on The Daily Show where they interviewed her, and they're
like,
"You'd be the first filth." And she didn't get it, but it was hilarious.
What does she do? What does she do for a living? What is her background?
She's like a Brit or something too. That's
oh, is she really?
It's not. She didn't even marry him because she's into
Dennis
his politics.
Looks like a fucking troll. He should be living under a bridge.
I could see some crazy loony left wing chick that's like, "Oh, Dennis Kucinich wants
to some hippie chick,
you know, legalize pot and talk to the aliens." They'd be into him.
Yeah,
But that chick's like British and she's giving
really?
Up.
Dennis
oh
Kucinich
my God, I would sell my nuts to fuck that. That's unbelievable.
She's like actually hot.
It's like a hot redhead.
It's not like she's hot like old lady hot. You know what I mean? She's like
no,
actually,
it's not like they go, well, Betty, Betty Ford was very attractive.
Yeah, it wasn't like that.
No.
She's actually hot.
Legitimately,
I know what you're saying, yeah.
They said she a filth, which I thought was very
right, right, right.
The Daily Show.
Damn.
A first lady, I'd like to.
Jeez.
Anyway,
I can't believe
you've never seen that.
I've never seen, who ever sees Dennis Kucinich anyway?
Right, right.
You know, he's not like a guy.
They finally kicked the crazy old man Mike Gravel out of the debates.
Was Dennis Kucinich the guy that Michael Moore had crowd surfing? Was that Kucinich on
might have been. I thought it was Alan Keyes.
On TV Nation?
Yeah, it was some of those guys. I think Alan Keyes.
Alan Keyes did that?
Yeah. Who's another crazy. Alan Keyes is great. He's always in the.
Is he out? He's not running again, is he? Good, thank God.
By the way, everybody. They're all like, you know, Obama hasn't really won an election because he beat Alan Keyes.
Yeah.
Like the.
Oh, in the Illinois senator?
Yeah, they ran Alan Keyes, who's not even from Illinois, against him.
Yeah.
And it was like, what? And he whooped his ass like a.
Well, the Alan Keyes thing.
Because the Republicans went, shit, do we have a black guy?
Yeah.
Let's run a black guy against
Alan
Obama.
Alan Keyes, for those who don't know Alan Keyes, he's like this black guy, and he talks very intelligent. He very much talks like this. And I'm going to tell you, Tom, and he would do the...
Hey, Alan, it's Tony Gwynn of the San Diego Padres.
Oh, hi, Tony. How are you?
What was it like to crowd surf with that Michael Moore? He's crazy, huh?
Well, it was an exhilarating experience, I must say. It was unbelievable to see the crowd like that. And they had their hands in their air, and they were waving them like they didn't care. Yeah. It was unbelievable. But Alan Keyes
is a guy...
You
know, one time I was at the plate, and Mike Piazza grabbed my ass. What do you think about that, huh?
Wow, that's unbelievable. I can't say... but Alan Keyes, the guy...
Tony Gwynn is the whitest black man ever.
When Alan Keyes was running for president, he was running on the Republican ticket, I guess, against Bush the last time or the first time? Was it 2000?
This might have been 2000.
No, no one really ran against Bush in 2004. It was in 2000 he ran.
Yeah.
He would, like, win every Republican debate when they would poll people afterwards. They would say, who's the winner of the debate? Alan Keyes won every debate, according to, like, the polls, and couldn't get a goddamn electoral vote to save his life.
You know what? He might have won the debate for, like, the real crazy conservatives.
No, I mean, literally, they would do polls, and he made them. I mean, I listened to his debate. He made sense. He wasn't a whack job. He was, like, a real...
He's kind of a whack job.
But he made sense to those people.
Yeah.
And Alan Keyes, but it didn't translate into him winning a goddamn
zero
thing.
Charisma.
Yeah. Well, I mean, whatever. He's a...
And Dennis Kucinich, for those who aren't following American politics...
Okay, here's the thing with Alan Keyes. Black people hate him because he's too white. Yeah. And white people hate him because he's any kind of black. That's the way that works. It's just, there's nobody's going to like him.
You know, all. I don't think that's fair.
No, but I mean, seriously.
Yeah, but Kucinich had no shot against Obama. Believe me, he was like very stiff and rigid.
I don't even care about him. I just care about his hot wife now.
Oh, my God. Jeez. Yeah, Dennis Kucinich is like the guy who's the far left-wing guy.
Yeah.
Who's even too lefty for me. Like, even I go, whoa, peel it back, brother.
Yeah.
Calm down a little bit.
But he's a guy that I was watching that go horribly wrong the whole show, too. I can see that something's wrong with the new mic stand already, and I don't know what it is.
It's good.
It's good now? Yeah, it's tightened up? You tightened it up?
I'll tighten it right
up. Does it pull off now or not?
I'll tell you what. Dennis Kucinich's wife is going to tighten up.
We're about ready to go anyway, so why don't we... I don't know what happened to it. Now, I had it. It was good.
It's fine. I won't fuck with it.
All right. Well, you're kind of leaning on it, and I saw it kind of tipping, and then I don't know. All right.
Anyway.
Sorry, people.
Elizabeth Kucinich. Look her up.
I'm going to look up Elizabeth. I'm going to put her right on the front page tonight.
She's smoking hot.
She is hot.
By general standards, she's very
attractive.
She'd
be like, if she was an actress on a show, like, you'd watch it and...
You'd go, oh, she's cute. Go, she's like a Deschanel.
She's like a Deschanel.
You know what I mean?
A Zoe, where does she fall in the Deschanels?
I don't know if she's the lesser Deschanel sister or she's in between...
She looks like the redhead from Head of the Class. Does that make sense?
Oh,
to
a little bit,
else?
Simone.
What was, I don't know who that actress was, but...
That was...
Head of the Class had a redhead on it, and yeah. She was kind of cute. A tall redhead.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, you want to say
that was a good show. You had who else was on that show? You had what's her name? The chick who married Mike Tyson.
Yes, Robin Givens.
Robin Givens was
Brian Robbins was like the tough
guy.
Yeah,
all those guys now direct like kids shows.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, you want to get out of here?
Are
you going to look
up
some more information?
Well,
for our fans
I just let me
who
look
really
up
don't
the,
give a shit.
No, they don't. But
the cast of Head
for
of the
myself. I need to find out the cast of Head of the Class.
Corey's going
to
look up the cast of Head of the Class. In the meantime, yeah. I will tell you.
Yeah.
That you get on the mailing list because we have some great features up there. Like,
sure.
We have an extra 20 minutes with John Tenney or 15 minutes with John Tenney.
Oh, that's
where
right.
We ate candy corn flavored soda. It was dire.
The
but a little bit more into John. You learn more about John and his life. How did we not plug our show next week? We did not plug November 29th.
Well, we haven't done a good job of plugging that anyway.
We haven't done a good job of promoting that or even putting that together.
Or,
but
no.
You will be hearing a live show. If you're listening and you're not going to come live November 29th, Thursday night at 10 p.m., show up at Club Bar. We're going to do a great live show for you with lots of great comics. We're booking all new comics that you've never heard on the show before. So it's going to be exciting.
Yes.
And I want to...
Christine Hodge.
Christine Hodge. Yeah, she's a good-looking girl. And we're going to have all new comics for you, a lot of new stand-up comedy, maybe some other guests. If we can
guys you've never seen on the show
guys
before.
You've never seen or heard on the show before. We'll be right
not
on stage.
Anything.
Live. And that'll be 2 weeks on this show, because we'll be doing a regular show next week, and that'll be the show in 2 weeks. But we're recording it live November 29th at 10 p.m.
And it might be a two-parter. Who knows?
And it could very well be 2 big hours of show, so it'll be a good time, so... Anything else? Christine Hodge, anyone else on Head of the Class that we should remember? Howard Hesseman?
Arvid?
Who played Arvid? He was the nerd on that.
All
right. All right.
The fat guy, Dennis Blunden.
Dennis Blunden, yes.
Dan Schneider was Dennis Blunden. Now those guys, Eric Roberts and Dennis Blunden, or Eric, what was the fucking guy's name? I don't even
Brian
know.
Robbins.
Brian Robbins. And then, yes, they do. They directed Good Burger.
I yes. Believe, well, Brian Robbins made a lot of hip-hop videos as well.
Oh, really?
Yes. He went hip-hop and made a lot of black.
Well, stuff. He went from that show, and now he's down with the Blacks.
Right, exactly. All right, folks, we're going to get
go
out of here.
I'm going to fight the Blacks over at Honey Baked Ham.
See you later. Have a good Thanksgiving for those of you having one. If you're not, we do not have Thanksgiving over here. Mm. I will.
Well, we don't have Thanksgiving, but we have another holiday that's similar.
What is that?
Called Kristallnacht. And we celebrate tonight that the Jews were punished.
All right. We're going to play more Art Brute, and we'll get out of here. We'll catch you next week. Corey and Joel Radio, 147 is over. See you later, kiddies.
Have a happy holiday.
People in love lie around and get fat. I didn't want us to end up like that. This isn't the first time.